One God, One Message. Chapter 5. God's Signature. Let all the nations hear and say, It is truth. God. Isaiah 43:9. Most legal documents require an official signature. The Old and New Testament scriptures, which claim to be God's authorized record and covenant, are signed, not with a pen, but with an utterly distinctive signature called fulfilled prophecy. This is what the Lord says. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened, since I establish my ancient people, and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? Isaiah 44:6-7, 45:21. Let us not fail to grasp God's logic. It is because the Bible abounds with detailed prophecies which have been accurately fulfilled that we can trust what it declares about the past, present, and future. Only the one who exists outside of time can announce and record history before it happens. Mortal men and women have made at times educated guesses about what might occur in the future. But only God sees the future as though it has already happened. Only God knows what will take place 1,000 years from now. Apart from divine revelation, neither humans, nor angels, nor demons, nor Satan can authoritatively foretell a future event. Some would say, but what about mediums, witch doctors, and fortune tellers? They predict the future. First, it is important to understand that Satan is able to give extraterrestrial knowledge and power to those who have been taken captive by him to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:26. Second, Satan, the master imitator and psychologist who has been observing human history for thousands of years, has become quite proficient at forging God's signature. Third, while the devil is relatively good at forecasting the way certain events may turn out, he does not know the future. His prophecies are often proven wrong. Furthermore, they are vague. For example, a fortune teller may tell a young lady, within the next several years, you will get married and find true love. You and I know the odds are quite good that such a prophecy will come true to some extent. When speaking of fulfilled biblical prophecies, we're not talking about those kinds of ambiguous predictions. Let's consider three examples of biblical prophecies about a place, a people, and a person. Prophecies about a place. Around 600 BC, the prophet Ezekiel prophesied against the ancient Phoenician city of Tyre. Located on the coast of Lebanon, Tyre was a world capital for over 2,000 years. It was known as the Queen of the Seas. Yet while it was at the peak of its power, God told Ezekiel to proclaim and write down a detailed prophecy about the destruction to come upon Tyre as a result of its wickedness and arrogance before God. The prophet Ezekiel predicted, 1. Many nations would come up against Tyre, Ezekiel 26:3. 2. Babylon, under King Nebuchadnezzar, would be the first to attack it, in verse 7. 3. Tyre's walls and towers would be broken down, in verse 4 and 9. 4. The people of Tyre would be slain by the sword, in verse 11. 5. The rubble and soil of the city would be cast into the sea, in verse 12. 6. It would be scraped bare, like the top of a rock, in verse 4. 7. It would become a fisherman's workplace for spreading nets, in verse 5 and 14. And 8. The great city of Tyre would never be rebuilt, for I the Lord have spoken, in verse 14. Secular history records that all 8 predictions came true. First, many nations came up against Tyre. Second, the first was Babylon, led by King Nebuchadnezzar. Third, after a 13-year siege, 585 to 572 BC, Nebuchadnezzar broke down mainland Tyre's walls and towers, fulfilling the first of Ezekiel's prophecies. Fourth, Nebuchadnezzar massacred the inhabitants who were unable to escape to Tyre's island fortress, located about a kilometer out in the Mediterranean Sea. Fifth, secular history documents that in 332 BC, Alexander the Great became the first to conquer the island portion of Tyre. He achieved this by destroying the mainland portion of the city and using the rubble to build a road to the island. Thus he unwittingly fulfilled another portion of the prophecy by casting the rubble from the destroyed city into the sea. Alexander's conquest brought a permanent end to the Phoenician Empire. Sixth, the city was scraped bare like the top of a rock. Seven, it became a place for spreading nets. And eight, in succeeding years, many efforts were made to rebuild Tyre, only to have it destroyed repeatedly. Today in Lebanon, there is a modern city named Tyre, but the ancient Phoenician city against which Ezekiel prophesied never recovered. Below a photo of stone pavement, National Geographic magazine has this caption. Today the Phoenicians Tyre lies buried beneath these paving stones and columns of a Roman metropolis. Only a small dig reaches down to the lost world of the Phoenicians. What would have been the odds that the man Ezekiel, by his own wisdom, could have made these eight accurate predictions about the city of Tyre? Since only God sees history before it happens, only God could have given Ezekiel this information. Prophecies about people. The Bible contains hundreds of precise prophecies about numerous peoples and nations. Egypt, Ethiopia, Arabia, Persia, Russia, Israel, and others. As we proceed with the next example of fulfilled prophecy, let us keep in mind that our purpose is not to make these prophecies say what we want to hear, nor to push a political or religious agenda. Our objective is to discover what the scriptures declare. Here is an easy-to-interpret, yet hard for many to accept case of fulfilled prophecy about one particular nation. Around 1920 B.C., God promised Abraham, "To your descendants I will give this land." Genesis 12:7. Later, God repeated the same promise to Isaac and to Jacob. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were first called Hebrews, later Israelites, and still later Jews. Hundreds of years afterward, God told Moses what would happen to them if they failed to trust and obey their God. "I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste." Leviticus 26:33. "You will become a thing of horror and an object of scorn and ridicule to all the nations where the Lord will drive you. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your feet. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart." Deuteronomy 28:37 and 65. The Old Testament contains scores of similar prophecies. Around AD 30, affirming the words of the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. "Now as Jesus drew near, he saw Jerusalem and wept over it, saying, 'Days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" Luke 19:41-44. In speaking of the temple itself, Jesus foretold, "The days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Luke 21:6. 40 years later, these events took place. The historian Flavius Josephus, born in AD 37, recorded this eyewitness account. He wrote that in AD 70, the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem, built an embankment around the city, and after 3 years of siege, the army leveled Jerusalem. Though Caesar himself had ordered his troops to spare the great temple, the enraged Roman soldiers set it on fire, killing the Jews hiding inside. The temple's gold and silver melted and ran between the stones. The temple was pulled down, just as Jesus had foretold. Not one stone was left upon another. And as Moses and the prophets had predicted, the Jews were scattered worldwide. Over the next two millennia, history would witness the fulfillment of these prophecies as the wandering Jew became an object of scorn and ridicule to all the nations, with no resting place. Whatever our personal feelings, there is another side to this biblical prophecy no one can deny. God also told his prophets that against all odds, the Jews would be preserved among the nations as a distinct people and would one day return to the land God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses prophesied to the children of Israel, "God will gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you." Deuteronomy 33. The prophet Amos added, "I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled from the land. Amos 9:14-15. News networks around the world report the fulfillment of these events. What has happened with the Hebrew nation is unique in world history. For one thing, it goes directly against the law of assimilation. This law can be observed whenever a nation is conquered by another nation. Within a few generations, the dispersed survivors are assimilated by the nations in which they have settled. They intermarry, adopt the new language and culture, and lose their national identity. This did not happen with the Jews. Though millions desperately tried to blend in and be absorbed, they could not. Understandably, many find this fact painful to accept. Recently, a friend in Lebanon wrote, "As concerns the fulfillment of prophecy concerning God's pledge to bring the Jewish people back to the land, I cannot overlook the implications of accepting such a belief. Accepting it would be detrimental to my cause." Let us be clear. Recognizing the survival and reestablishment of the Jews as a people and nation does not mean that we must endorse Israeli government policies. I understand and sympathize with my Lebanese friend. In 1948, his mother's family and neighbors, along with many others, were driven from their homes. His country has suffered terribly. Nevertheless, the point to be grasped is this. The events foretold by the biblical prophets are taking place before our eyes. The fact that most Jews today reject the message of the very prophets they claim to honor is also a fulfillment of Scripture. As a nation, they are spiritually blind. Even to this day, when Moses, their own Torah, is read, a veil lies on their heart. 2 Corinthians 3:15. As a nation, they will not enter into God's full blessings until a coming day when they repent, have a radical change of mind and heart, and believe God's age-old message. Near the end of our journey through the Scriptures, we will observe how these events fit into God's program for the end times. We will also hear some prophecies about the blessings God has in store for the Middle East and the entire world. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29:11. Prophecies about a person. Scattered throughout the Old Testament are hundreds of prophecies about a Messiah, deliverer, whom God promised to send into the world. The Dead Sea Scrolls confirm that these scriptures were written hundreds of years before Messiah's birth. Here is a sampling of those predictions. Prophecy to Abraham, 900 B.C. The Messiah would enter the world through the family line of Abraham and Isaac. Genesis 12:2-3, 22:1-18. Fulfilled in Matthew 1. Prophecy by Isaiah, 700 B.C. He would be born of a virgin having no earthly biological father. Isaiah 7:14, 9, and 6. Fulfilled in Luke 1:26-35, Matthew 1:18-25. Prophecy by Micah, 700 B.C. He would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. Fulfilled in Luke 2:1-20, Matthew 2:1-12. Prophecy by Hosea, 700 B.C. He would be called out of Egypt, Hosea 11:1. Fulfilled, Matthew 2:13-15. Prophecy by Malachi, 400 B.C. The Messiah would be preceded by a forerunner, Malachi 3:1, Isaiah 40:3-11. Fulfilled in Luke 1:11-17 and Matthew 3:1-12. Prophecy by Isaiah, 700 B.C. He would cause blind to see, deaf to hear, lame to walk, and preach good news to the poor, Isaiah 35:5-6, 61:1. Fulfilled, Luke 7:22, Matthew 9. Prophecy by Isaiah, 700 B.C. He would be rejected by his own people. Isaiah 53:2-3. Also Psalm 118:21-22. Fulfilled, John 1:11. Mark 6:3. Matthew 21:42-46. Prophecy by Zechariah, 500 B.C. He would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, which would be used to buy a field. Zechariah 11:12-13, fulfilled Matthew 26:14-16, 27, 3-10. Prophecy by Isaiah, 700 BC. The Messiah would be rejected, falsely accused, tried, and executed by the Jews and Gentiles. Isaiah 56, 53-1-12. Also Psalm 2 and 22. Zechariah 12:10. Fulfilled. John 1:11. 11:45-57. Mark chapter 10, 32-34. Matthew 26 and 27. Prophecy by David, 1000 BC. His hands and feet would be pierced. He would be mocked by onlookers, and lots would be cast for his garments. Psalm 22:16-18. Fulfilled in Luke 23:33-37, 24:39. Keep in mind that this prediction was made long before crucifixion had been invented as a form of capital punishment. Prophecy by Isaiah, 700 BC. Though killed like the worst criminal, he would be buried in the tomb of a rich man. Isaiah 53:8-9. Fulfilled in Matthew 27:57-60. And prophecy by David, 1000 BC. The Messiah's body would not decay in the tomb. He would overcome death. Psalm 16:9-11. Also Matthew 16:21-23. 17:22-23, 20:17-19. Fulfilled. Luke 24, Acts 1 and 2. The laws of probability dictate that no one person could fulfill such specific, verifiable prophecies. Yet, that is exactly what happened. Later, you may want to come back to this list, pick up a Bible, and read each Old Testament prophecy and the fulfillment recorded in the New Testament. In addition to hundreds of prophecies, scattered throughout the Old Testament scriptures are hundreds of symbols and patterns, also referred to as types, pictures, shadows, prefigurations, and illustrations. God designed each of these visual aids to teach the world about Himself and His plan for mankind. In our journey through the scriptures, we will encounter many symbols and patterns. For example, one prominent symbol is that of a sacrificial lamb, which is clearly explained in chapters 19-26 of this book. In chapter 21, we'll learn about a special tent called the tabernacle, which God commanded His people to construct as a pattern. The tabernacle and all that went with it are powerful visual aids to help people understand what God is like and how sinners can be forgiven and qualified to live with Him forever. A comparative study between the life of Joseph, son of Jacob, and Jesus of Nazareth unfolds a striking example of the kind of prefigurations found in Scripture. There are more than 100 parallels between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus. God used the life of Joseph to paint a picture of Jesus, who would come into the world 1,700 years later. There is only one reasonable explanation for such patterns and prophecies. God. While on earth, the Messiah said, "I am telling you before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am He." John 13:19. The prediction of future events, followed by the realization in history, is one way God has validated His messengers and His message. To strengthen our faith in His Word, the true and living God has declared the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand." Isaiah 46:10. Our upcoming journey through the Scriptures will begin in the Bible's first book, Genesis, which reports how the world began. The journey will conclude in the Bible's final book, Revelation, which foretells the closing events of world history. How can we be certain that biblical statements about the unverifiable past and the unforeseeable future are true? We can be certain by applying the same logic by which we are confident that the sun will rise tomorrow. For thousands of years, our solar system has had a perfect record. The Earth has never failed to rotate. The sun consistently rises and sets. So it is with biblical prophecy. In all that can be verified, God's book has a perfect record. Some religious people claim that their holy book also contains prophecies which have been fulfilled. If you hear people make this claim, respectfully ask them to provide you with a short list of 3 or 4 of their holy book's most convincing prophecies. It is unlikely they will comply, but if they do, first verify that the prophecies were written down before the events they foretold, and then compare them with secular history to confirm their fulfillment. From my experience, any such predictions are, at best, few and ambiguous. It is for good reason that the true and living God presents the following challenge to all religions and imagined deities. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments. Bring in your idols to tell us what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so that we may know that you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. He who chooses you is detestable. Isaiah 41:21-24. When it comes to multiple, detailed prophecies, which have been precisely fulfilled, the Bible stands alone. The true and living God has authenticated his message to mankind by writing history before it happens. Fulfilled prophecy is his signature.